We're now going to read our first passage for tonight's sermon, reading from chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. So if you have a Bible with you, please open to Daniel chapter 10 and keep it open there as we'll be reading parts of chapters 11 and 12 a bit later on as well. So Daniel chapter 10. Let's read Daniel chapter 10. Hear the word of the Lord. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I opened up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left within me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except Michael, your prince.
Well, our reading tonight is Daniel 10 to 12, but as you've already had Daniel 10, we will start at Daniel 11. And we will be reading Daniel 11 verses 1 to 4 and then moving to Daniel 29 to 45. And reading all of chapter 12. So starting in Daniel 11, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. And now I will show you the truth. Behold, 3 more kings shall arise in Persia, and the 4th shall be far richer than all of them. And when he has become strong through his riches, he shall stir up all against the kingdom of Greece. Then a mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with great dominion and do as he wills. And as soon as he has risen, his kingdom shall be broken and divided towards the four winds of heaven, but not to his posterity, nor according to the authority with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up and go to others besides these. To verse 29. At the time appointed, he shall return and come into the south. But it shall not be this time as it was before. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him, and he shall be afraid and withdraw, and he shall turn back and be enraged and take action against the Holy Covenant. He shall turn back and pay attention to those who forsake the Holy Covenant. Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offering. And they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. He shall seduce with the flattery those who violate the covenant. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. And the wise among the people make many understand. Though for some days they shall stumble by the sword and flame, by captivity and plunder. When they stumble, they shall receive a little help. And many shall join themselves to them with flattery. And some of the wise shall stumble, so they may be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end, for it still awaits the appointed time. And the king shall do as he wills. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods. He shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished. For what is decreed shall be done. He shall pay no attention to the gods of his fathers or to the one beloved by women. He shall not pay attention to any other god, for he shall magnify himself above all. He shall honour the God of fortresses instead of these. A God whom his fathers did not know, he shall honour with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He shall deal with the strongest fortress with the help of a foreign god. Those who acknowledge him, he shall load with honour. He shall make them rulers over many and shall divide the land for a price. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. But the king of the north shall rush upon him like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. He shall come into the countries and shall overflow and pass through. He shall come into the glorious land, and tens of thousands shall fall, but these shall be delivered out of his hand, Edom and Moab and the main part of the Ammonites. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall become ruler of the treasures of gold and of silver and of all precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Cushites shall follow in his train. But news from the east and the north shall alarm him, and he shall go out with great fury to destroy and devote many to destruction. He shall pitch his palatial tents between the sea and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end with none to help him. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and half a time, and that when the shattering of power of the holy people comes to an end, all of these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Ian. Thank you for reading that long passage for us. I'm glad I managed to catch you before I got you to read all of 11. So, well, I want to ask you as we begin in this last section of Daniel, what do you think is the key to perseverance? Well, as you think about your work, whether it's at home or in your job, how do you persevere in doing the work that you're doing? If you're studying, how do you persevere knowing that there's another semester to come? How do you stay focused at studying hard? And I wonder what you think about when you hear the word perseverance. Well, tonight, I'm going to be testing your perseverance as we look at not one, not two, but three chapters of Daniel. And so thank you for humoring me. But as we look more particularly at the final vision of Daniel, the book of Daniel, where we see who and how we are to persevere in the Lord. And so I hope that's going to become clear as we look at how Daniel perseveres in the Lord in his years of exile, how God's people are going to persevere, and finally how we must persevere. So let's get into this last vision, shall we? Firstly, let's think about how Daniel persevered as we look at chapter 10. If you have your Bibles there, it'll be really handy to keep it there as we make our way through various parts of Daniel 10. So as we look at how Daniel persevered in chapter 10 and the final vision, let's get our bearings right. Where do we find ourselves in this chapter? We'll have a look in verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. All right, so we're greeted in this chapter with a somewhat familiar name, with Cyrus, the king of Persia. If you recall back when we first started this series, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, we see where Daniel was in exile until the first year of the king Cyrus. But now we're in his third rule, where Daniel's received this true word from God about a great conflict. We know that he's in his third year. We know that Daniel's most likely gone back to Israel. And you might think that Israel's free from exile. He's out of Babylon. Shouldn't he be overjoyed? But we see in verse 2, what is his mood like? Well, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. But why? Why is he mourning here? Well, we're not specifically told. He doesn't really say anything about it. But we are given more details from other prophets, specifically in Ezra, who writes the account of how Israel is returning from Babylon out of their exile. They're restoring the altar. They're restoring the temple of God post-exile because it was destroyed. However, this temple just paled in comparison to the original. And the restoration process itself was hindered. It was troubled in so many ways. There was opposition. There was bribery. There was people opposing them in various ways and approvals. And even King Cyrus stopped the rebuilding halfway. This is the context of the vision that's delivered. In verse 5, it's a message delivered by a man who's clothed in linen, belt of fine gold from Uphaz, body like beryl, face like lightning, eyes like flaming torches, arms and legs like burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like a multitude. Well, who is this? Who is this messenger? Well, it's most likely the pre-incarnate Christ or the Son of Man that's described in Daniel 7. And we can pick this up because this description is so eerily similar to what was seen by John in Revelation 1. They both pick up the very, very similar language. And so, but more than that, actually, we see both Daniel and John react in almost the exact same way. In Revelation, when John sees this figure, he falls at his feet as though dead. And when Daniel sees this figure, the same figure, well, we see that everyone, he's presumably with other people who have scattered. Others have fled. They've gone into hiding. And we see Daniel. What is he like? Well, he's left with no strength at all. He falls flat on his face and enters into a deep sleep. We haven't even started looking at the vision yet, but we see the devastating effects that this vision had on Daniel. It's almost like when you see something so repulsive, so evil, that you simply have to look away. And I recall in the morning of 9/11, as I turned on the TV, you look and you see the plane strike the building. You helplessly look on as the buildings are destroyed without taking a breath. And I can only imagine how much more Daniel would be struck from this vision. And we turned into this heavenly figure, the Son of Man, revealing why he's here. Look with me in verse 12. He tells him, "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard. And I've come because of your words." You see, the Son of Man has come to reveal his word to Daniel. He's come to answer Daniel's prayer. And this gives us a really great insight into how Daniel was living in exile as revealed to us by the messenger of God. Because if you look, as you read through Daniel 10, how does this messenger call Daniel? As one who is greatly loved, as one who had his heart set on God, as one who humbled himself before God, and one who prayed fervently for God's people. What do we see revealed to Daniel then? Well, I think there are two things that's revealed. The firstly is the spiritual war that is going on in verse 13. We see the prince of the kingdom of Persia is withstanding the Son of Man until Michael comes. That's how he's able to come to Daniel now. And I think here in the West, we almost have a allergic reaction when we hear something of a spiritual nature. We're fairly quick to dismiss or ignore the heavenly realities that are at play. And when we see the spiritual warfare that's behind the curtains of life as we know it, we see that the earthly conflicts are echoes of the heavenly battles that are happening. And this reveals to us that there is a spiritual war happening. We don't see it, but it is happening. And we're also told, that Daniel is also told, the future of God's people. Have a look in verse 14 with me. And came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. You see, it's not a light vision. It is a burdensome, it is a heavy vision that crushes him. But notice throughout this whole chapter that it is the Son of Man who is uplifting Daniel, who is encouraging Daniel and bringing him to life in the midst of his affliction. You see that in verse 19. He says, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And that's the refrain of the whole book of Daniel. When we look at how Daniel's been persevering in exile, in 70 years of exile, what is it that kept him persevering in his faith? Well, it was his trust that his God would be his help and his strength. He had absolute trust that God would look for him, that God would keep the promises that was made to him. So he humbled himself before him. And he knew, God knew, that his heart was after God. He knew that without God, he was helpless. And this is the message that's written down for us as we read scripture. Because in the same way, well, aren't we completely dead to God's word without God's help? How many times have we kind of read through the scriptures? Or people who don't believe can read the same book that we read, but get nothing out of it. You see, without God's help, the Bible would mean nothing to us. We would remain dead in our sins. Our hearts would be hardened to the words that are in scripture. And just as it was for Daniel, we need God's help. As we read his message, as we pick up his word, it is God who helps us understand who he is. That's why we need God's spirit as sent out by Jesus on the cross. And so as we think of ourselves in the midst of exile, as we think of ourselves living here in Perth, well, we are to persevere in humble dependence on Jesus, who by the blood on the cross sent the Spirit to purify our hearts, to bring us from death to life. Because only in Christ can we be freed from the guilt and the death that comes because we rejected and rebelled against God. Only in Christ can our hearts and our minds be renewed so that as we read scripture, as we read the Bible, only by the Spirit can we see our need for Jesus all throughout, since the beginning of time. Or should I say, since the fall. And so can I encourage you that we would persevere prayerfully in the Lord Jesus. Persevere in reading his word, because we know that it is God who is fighting for us. And indeed, he's already won. That's the only way that we can be strong and of good courage. By faith in our God who gives us strength. Because that's what Daniel's life was like. One that was filled with reverence and awe for his God, even in the midst of exile. Well, let's then turn to the vision itself as we think about how God's people are to persevere. How are God's people to persevere in their faith? Because at the end of chapter 10, the Son of Man, the angelic being, tells him that this vision is to understand what's going to happen to not just everyone, but it's to your people. It's the Israelites, the followers of God in the latter days. So let's take a look at the actual vision of chapter 11. And if you've read it, well, you know, it's not an easy read, is it? Because you start with a fairly familiar vision in chapter 11. You have these four kings of Persia. One of them's kind of mighty. From that point on, it gets kind of confusing. Because it's broken down. And it's given to others. You have the king of the south coming. But not really, because the prince of the king of the south comes. And that prince makes an alliance with the king of the north. And that doesn't seem to really work out. And then the king comes back and they have another meeting. And then there's multiple wars that just seem to break out. And there are people that are rising into power. And you almost have to have like a little graph of who is being referred to here. It's so easy as you're reading through chapter 11. Well, I found I was reading through it. I lost track of who's fighting who. Who's raising an army against who? Who's winning? Or who's losing? Whose daughter is this? But more than that, it's hard to hear because right in the middle of this section of chapter 11, have a look in verse 22. In the middle, we see that right in the middle of these two kingdoms is Jerusalem. We see the people of the covenant. We read a little section earlier, Ian read for us, where even the prince of the covenant is swept away. In verse 29, this king that comes into power goes against the holy covenant, profanes the temple in verse 31. Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress. And what do? They take away the regular burnt offerings. And they set up the abomination that makes desolate. So we see this king, a foreign king, who does whatever he wants. He exalts himself. He speaks against the God of gods. He ignores the gods above. Honors the God of fortresses, whoever that is. And even enters into the glorious land where tens of thousands fall. And he even conquers countries. He becomes the rulers of the treasures of God and everything precious. What is going on here? What we know is it's a vision of a time to come. Remember, the angelic being has told us already, it's a time to come. And we see now that as we look back in the 21st century, we look back and we can see that these events have actually taken place. In these chapters, what we see fulfilled in Daniel's visions is the kingdoms that followed the Persian Empire. So following a little map, you can't really see. You can see the two big circles. Follow with me in verse 3. Hopefully we can try and make more sense of this. Of verse 3, we have the mighty king who's defeated. This is most likely referencing Alexander the Great. He's the one that defeats Darius the Third. He dies. But, as history shows us, he doesn't have an heir. And so his kingdom is divided. And right in between is Jerusalem. If you can see the middle circle, is Jerusalem in the middle. The middle, up the north, we have the kingdom of Syria. And at the south, we have Egypt. These chapters, this chapter, summarizes the movements of the kingdoms until we get to a king called Antiochus the Fourth and his reign. There's a lot of research. I was trying to figure it out and track it along as clearly as I could. You can't see it, but there's a kind of a timeline there. Let me talk about it in a moment. There's a lot of research that draws these connections. And if you were to read the historical accounts of these kings, you'll be able to trace these movements, these connections that are foretold before Daniel's time. But perhaps most significantly is the connection that's drawn between Antiochus the Fourth, because he is the one that invades Egypt. He is the king, towards the verse 20, he's the king that takes up the powers and goes against Jerusalem and God's people. And we see that most clearly in BC 168 to 167. In those years, he invades Egypt. He takes the treasures of the temple to fund his military and political agendas. He tears down Jerusalem's walls. He kills many, many Israelites. He ends the worship of Israel's God. He builds an idol where the temple used to be, and he promotes the worship of Zeus, the Greek gods, and he sacrifices pigs where the temple used to be. And this being the abomination of desolation. What we see is that in history past, God's house was desolate. It was desecrated. But as you read through chapter 11, what you'll notice is that there is one that's in control. One who knows what's going to happen. One who is handing over the kingdom to each ruler. So if you follow me in verse 4, the kingdom shall be plucked up and go to others. Verse 24, he shall devise plans against strongholds, but only for a time. Verse 27, and as for the two kings, their hearts shall be bent on doing evil. They shall speak lies at the same table, but to no avail, for the end is yet to be at the time appointed. Verse 34, when they stumble, they shall receive a little help, and many shall join themselves to them with flattery. And some of the wise shall stumble so that they may be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end. And verse 36, and the king shall do as he wills. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And he shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods. He shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for what is decreed shall be done. And so do you notice that these are all things that are in control? Who's the one that's giving these kingdoms over to the next? Who is decreeing the next thing to come? Who's appointing these things to their appointed time? Well, it's the sovereign God of Daniel. And that's our God. Because remember that the timing that Daniel is writing at is in the past. As if you kind of look in on the timeline behind me, Daniel's prophecy is on the left, and it's only hundreds of years later that each part of Daniel 11 is accomplished. And at the very end is where we find ourselves. It was written in the past for the Christians then, that these things are going to happen. What does that mean for us then? We're on the other side of it. What does it mean for us? Well, I think as we see that Daniel's writing to his fellow Israelites, that awful trouble is going to come, and it did. I think that tells us, doesn't it, that our God is sovereign over these things, isn't it? Our God knows what's going to come. He knows their end. It might be trouble. It will be trouble. But only for an allotted time. It's only in God's appointed time that these things happen, but it will end. Jesus uses the same language when describing what Antiochus does, where he sets up this abomination that causes desolation. And he says it will happen again in Matthew 24. Antiochus wasn't the first. And he certainly won't be the last to arrogantly set himself up as God. But we must know that these people, this arrogant behavior will not last. How should God's people persevere in these situations? Well, we're told. Have a look in verse 32. And just as he will seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Do you see that? We're to persevere by knowing our God and standing firm and taking action. This is why it's so important as we look to scriptures, because in scriptures, we're told who our God is. Our God who is full of love and yet filled with utmost holiness. Our God who is to be revered in all holiness, who is all powerful, almighty, the glorious sovereign God who rules the world and yet steps into the world out of love for his people. Because God did not leave us to perish in sin. When we rejected him, when we rebelled against him, God had every right to leave us to die in our sins. But he didn't. He stepped into the world and he continued to save Israel from the beginning. God did not leave us. That is who our God is. He is a God of love, and yet he is a God of utmost holiness. But did you notice that we are to resist as well? In verse 32, there is forces that seduce us with flattery. There are things of the world that pull us, try to pull us away from our God. Just as in the garden, where Satan deceives Adam and Eve into thinking, actually, your God is not who he says he is. As we look to scripture, we are reminded time and time again that our God does love us. We might not feel it. We might look to all the suffering of the world and think, where is God? And when we do, we must look to the cross. Because on that cross, we know where we stand before God. We have to notice that we must be not just knowing God, but actively standing firm in our faith. Because we know our sovereign God knows all that is going to happen. He knew all the events that happened to Daniel. He knows the events that happened after Daniel. And he knows the events that are to come. He has foretold it. And so we can have utmost confidence in our God. He is the sovereign one. He is the one who is in control over all of these events. So even as we face the allures, the temptations, to give it up. Because it might seem easier. It might seem that there will not be persecution. It might seem like there's no trouble at all. And yet, we know there is trouble to come. But it will be worth it. Unlike Daniel and his friends in Babylon, however, one of the fearful things we see is that this persecution may bring death. But we know that death is not the end. How do we know? Well, that's our final point as we think about how we are to persevere. As we look to chapter 12, let me read again from verse 1 of chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. You see, even after all the troubles that is listed in chapter 11, we see that there is more to come. And we still see that distress today, don't we? We know many believers who continue to face persecution for our faith. And maybe that's what you're experiencing too. And indeed, we can all expect that to happen to us too. And yet throughout all of it, we are certain that we will be delivered because our names are written in the book of life. They're written in there. There will be a time, as we see in chapter 12, there will be a time where everyone will be raised from the dead. But the difference being, some will awake to everlasting life, but some to everlasting contempt. The future with God is a glorious future, one that requires us to have an eternal perspective, and so we have to be wise and turn to the one who is righteous. As you look in the Old Testament, the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. More than persevering in our work, in our things that are good, but persevering in God who rules. And that's exactly what Daniel was told to do. Have a read with me in verse 10. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And so we're called then to purify ourselves and know that there will be an end time to this persecution. And you might ask, when will that happen? I mean, that's the question of verse 6. How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Well, let's have a read in verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. How long shall it be until the end of these things? Well, it almost feels like I've entered back into my uni days where I hear all the words, but I understand nothing. And it feels like, what exactly does that mean? We're given clarity, but we're still confused. Instead of trying to understand completely what this time and a half is, Daniel instead asks and looks for the end. He looks at the outcome of these things. And as Daniel is told this outcome, we're also told the same thing. To go your way. And so friends, if you don't know who this God is, what can I encourage you to be challenged? To persevere in not just the things that last in this life, but to things that are everlasting. Because in Christ, by faith in what he has done on the cross, we are given everlasting life with him. Because he has died for us. On the cross, he bears the weight of our sin so that we shall not go to eternal condemnation. And so, brothers and sisters, persevere in Christ. Persevere in the one who gives us the strength we need to persevere. The one who gives us the spirit that holds us. Persevere in the one who knows the future that awaits us. Persevere with steadfast hope for the everlasting and glorious future that awaits us with our God and our Savior. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, thank you that you are a good and gracious God. And we see that most clearly in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have revealed the great mystery of salvation to us, the gift of life that comes through faith in him. Lord, we want to thank you for your steadfast promises that reassure us over and over again of the everlasting life to come. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be zealous for you, knowing that without you awaits eternal condemnation. Lord, would you help us to live faithfully to you? Help us to live lives of all holiness, lives that would bring great honor and glory to you. Help us to live faithfully, resisting the temptations that might pull us away from you. In all this, Lord, we ask that you would help us to persevere in the Lord Jesus. By your Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask that we would trust in who you are, the sovereign, almighty God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.